This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Pastor Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Making Wise Decisions at Work.
Proverbs 15, verse 22 says this: without advice, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. I did this when I started this church. You know, one of the things I did before I even came here? I personally wrote to every pastor who was already in the Saddleback Valley. And I asked them a series of questions. And I even gave them a self-addressed reply card and had them so they wouldn't have to spend a lot of time. It was already stamped and posted. And I asked every pastor who was already here before me about the area. What's your advice? What do you think about the community? And I was just listening to them. Why? I'm getting advice from people who'd already done what I was about to do. Most people wouldn't do that. Most church planters wouldn't do that. They'd just go into an area and just start. They go, oh, that's a nice place. And they didn't. I asked every pastor. I got advice. And then when I got here in January 1, 1980, for 12 weeks, all I did was walk door to door and talk to people. And I took a survey. You know this famous survey. Now thousands and thousands of other churches have done it. And I'd walk up and I'd knock on a door. And they'd open the door and I'd say, hi, my name is Rick Warren. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to invite you to anything. I'm not here to convert you. I'm just taking an opinion poll. There are no right or wrong answers, and it'll just take about 90 seconds. Can I ask you a couple questions? When I said that introduction, I didn't have a single person who say no in 12 weeks. And I had a little clipboard there, and I said, first, are you an active member of a local church? And if they said yes, I said, God bless you, keep going. And I went to the next home, because frankly, I wasn't interested in the opinions of Christians. I said, I don't know. The goal isn't to get other people from other churches to come here. We want to go after people. We're going to build a church for the unchurched, people who've never been in church, people who hate church. And so when I'd find somebody say, nah, I don't like church. I don't go to church. I said, fantastic. That's just great. You're just the kind of person I want to talk to. Let me ask you three more questions. What advice would you give to me as the pastor of a new church that wants to benefit the community? How could I help you? And I would say, why do you think most people don't go to church? Now, I could have said, why don't you go to church? But that's an offensive question. I'd say, it's none of your business. But I say, why do you think most people don't go to church? 9 times out of 10, they give you their reason. And I wrote it down. And I say, if you were looking for a church, what kind of things would you look for? And I wrote it down. I discovered not one person said, I'm looking for a pipe organ. Not one. Choir robes. Nobody mentioned that one. And then I say, so what advice? And then how can I help you? And I just listened and I took notes and I did that for 12 weeks. What am I doing? I'm doing a market survey. That's what I was doing. I was getting the facts and I was asking for advice. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, 6, the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. That means even if you have to pay for it, you want to get the advice of other people. But as I said, one of the reasons why we don't like to ask for advice is we don't want to admit we don't know it. I have discovered, I've been around some really successful people, and I've discovered a couple things. One, the most remarkable people I've met in my life don't think they're remarkable. It's people who are small thinkers that are hung up on themselves and think they're so great. Humility and wisdom go together. And when you get humility and wisdom, you get success. It's pride and arrogance. I think I know it all. And you barge ahead without asking for advice and getting the facts and checking the Bible. So here's what you want to ask. Write this question down. Who could advise me? Who could advise me? Who has already gone where I want to go? in terms of health, in terms of children, in terms of business, whatever you're dealing with, who could advise me on this who's already been there? Number four, the fourth thing that Solomon tells us to do in the book of Proverbs is set a goal. Set a goal. When you're going to make a decision, you need to set a faith goal that I'm going to do such and such by such and such a date. Now, what turns a dream into a goal? You set a date. When you put a date on a dream, it becomes a goal. And a goal is simply a statement of faith. A goal says, I believe that God wants me to do this by this time. And it's a statement of faith. And it focuses your attention and it sets your priorities. If you don't have a goal, you're not the leader. Proverbs 17:24 says this, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. A fool starts off, says, you got to know your goal. And so the fourth thing you do is you say, what is my goal in making this decision? And you have a deadline. When I moved here to the Saddleback Valley in January, I said, we're going to start services in 12 weeks, whether we're ready or not. That was my faith goal. And why did I say we're going to start services in 12 weeks? Well, I didn't want us to just stay as a small group. I wanted to force us to having a goal causes you to do more quicker, but also 12 weeks was Easter. And I thought, if anybody comes to church, what's the one Sunday they come to church? They may not come back week number two, but at least I'll have some people to go visit. So I set off, and then we set a goal of 150 people at our first service. And there were about 15 of us in a little Bible study at that time, and we hand-addressed and hand-stamped 15,000 letters, the 15 of us, and mailed them out 10 days before Easter. And we thought, if a 0.5% response show up, that's 75 people, and if you got two people in a family, that's 150. So we said, our first goal is 150 people. And I'll never forget, on Easter Sunday at Laguna Hills High School, 205 people walked up that ramp for the first service of Saddleback Church. And Kay looked at me and I said, this is going to work. And I breathed a big sigh of relief. And I remember we had decided that a week earlier we were going to try a trial run service. I said, I'm going to take the 15 of us down to Laguna Hills High School and I'm going to preach to you and we're going to practice the music and everything. So next week when people show up, it makes it look like we know what we're doing. So we at least have had 1 week practice. Some people, that letter that we sent out, got it a week early, misread it, got a week early, came a week early. We had 60 people at the trial run. Five of them gave their lives to Christ that day. I wanted to say, no, you can't get saved till next week. Please come back later. This is just practice. Sorry, you cannot go to heaven right now. You got to wait one more week. You know. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:25-27. Look straight ahead. This is talk about goal setting. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Have you set a goal? Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Now, when I started this church, I didn't know how to do this. I didn't have any, I wasn't a management expert. So I found a guy who lived up in Anaheim who had been a Pentagon planner for the U.S. Pentagon. And I said, would you help me? Here's my goal to start by Easter. Will you help me lay out everything I need to do in the next 12 weeks to get the church started? And he said, sure. So he sat down and he said, what do you need to do? And I just told him he'd write it on a card. I tell him something we need to write on a card. We think of something else, oh, we need to write that on a card. Then he got a big piece of butcher paper, it's about 8 feet long, and we taped those down there in order of we got to do that before we do that, and we got to do that before we do that. It's called a Gantt chart. And we laid it all out, and we had a goal, and I knew where I was going, and we set a goal. This is the principle of selection. And we said, we got to do this by this date and this by this date. And here's the question you ask on a major decision. What's my goal and milestones? What's my goal and my milestones? That's on the little mini steps on the way to your big goal. All right? Check the Bible, get the facts, ask for advice, then set a goal. Now, the fifth thing that Solomon tells us to do in the book of Proverbs, if you got a major decision to make, is this, very important. count the cost. That's the fifth thing you got to do in a major decision. Count the cost.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Do you want to earn more than just a living? You can, because God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. It doesn't matter what your job is, a manager, a stay-at-home mom or dad, a doctor, a teacher, or a sales clerk, paid or volunteer. The Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart and with enthusiasm as working for the Lord, not for man. No matter what your daily routine looks like, God wants to use your work to minister to others. That's why Pastor Rick put together a study kit called Christians in the Workplace. It includes a six-session study guide and DVD where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier works with Pastor Rick to teach you how to transform your everyday tasks into a ministry. In this study kit, you'll discover how to find opportunities for spiritual growth at work, a guide to moral and ethical decisions, and creative ways you can share your faith. When you employ biblical strategies every day, you'll store up riches in heaven, and you may even find yourself getting a promotion at work. When you give a gift to support Daily Hope, we'll send you the Christians in the Workplace Study Kit to say thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Check the Bible, get the facts, ask for advice, then set a goal. Now, the fifth thing that Solomon tells us to do in the book of Proverbs, if you got a major decision to make, is this, very important, count the cost. That's the fifth thing you got to do in a major decision. Count the cost. This is the principle of evaluation. You figure out in advance what the decision will cost. And you're going to need a budget. And because every decision has a price tag. And you have to ask yourself, what's it going to cost in four areas? You might write these things down. What's it going to cost in time? So just time. You write that down. Time, question mark. What's it going to cost in money, question mark. Time, money. The third one is, what's it going to cost in energy? And the fourth one is, what's it going to cost my family, my relationships? You need to know what that cost is, and you've got to count the cost. Proverbs 20:25, Solomon gives this wise advice. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. Circle that, counting the cost. He says it's a trap. It's a trap to decide without deliberating. It's a trap to promise without pondering. It's a trap to make a decision without having counted the cost. That's why when people come to Saddleback and I say, are you ready to make that decision about giving your life to Christ? And they say, well, no, I'm not. I said, well, that's okay. And I always tell them this, take the time to make the right decision. I'm never in a hurry to push somebody to receive Christ. I say, take the time to make the right decision. Because I truly believe that if they're intellectually honest and they take the time to genuinely consider the facts, it's the most logical, rational, makes sense, beneficial decision you can make to get in harmony with the Creator who made me. I mean, I don't understand the logic of being out of whack with my Creator who made me. But I say, take the time to make the right decision. So you got to deliberate before deciding. You got to ponder before promising. And what I'm telling you is, as your pastor, I'm giving you permission to tell people, I'll get back to you. It's okay to say, I'll get back to you on a decision. When a salesman or anybody else makes an ask of you, if I make an ask of you, it's okay for you to say, I'll get back to you, to ponder it, to decide on it, to count the cost. Don't be pressured, because there is a law of life that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes teach, and it's this. It's always easier to get in than to get out. You know what I'm talking about? It's always easier to get in than it is to get out. Is it easier to get in debt than out of debt? Oh, baby, oh, baby. Yeah. Is it easier to get into a relationship than out of a relationship? Oh, yeah. Is it easier to fill your schedule than fulfill your schedule? Yeah. It's always easier to get in than to get out. And so Jesus even said, count the cost. He tells two stories. Look at this verse in Luke. Jesus said, if you want to build a tower, it's here on the screen. If you want to build a tower, you must first sit down and figure out how much it will cost. If you don't, you might not be able to finish it, and people would ridicule you. And if a king is considering going to war, he must first sit down and plan. He must count his 10,000 soldiers and decide if they can defeat a king who has 20,000. Jesus even himself is saying, you need to count the cost in following me. Is the cause worth the cost? So here's the question you want to ask when you're making a major decision. After you've counted the cost, is it worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it? Before I started Saddleback Church, I had to count the cost of what it would be to me in terms of time, money, energy, my family, and everything else. Anybody want to guess the first year budget of Saddleback Church? The entire budget. This included all staff salaries. The entire budget of our church, $60,000. That was the first year's budget. I knew that there would be sacrifices to be made in the startup, but I had to ask, is it worth it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's worth it. Knowing that people are going to be in heaven for eternity, thousands and thousands now people are going to be in heaven for eternity, is it worth it? Yes. So you count the cost and you ask, is it worth it? Number six, the sixth thing that Solomon says to say you need to do is plan for problems. Plan for problems. Now, you may not want problems, but they sure want you. Okay, so you got to plan for problems in any major decision. Everybody knows Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, Murphy was an optimist. I think that's true. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Now, you can't ignore problems, as I said, because they're not going to ignore you. You're going to face them, so you've got to prepare. Now, how do you do that with faith? Here's the key. Hope for the best while preparing for the worst. That's what the Bible teaches. I hope for the best, but I prepare for the worst. Because all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. There are going to be storms that come in life. Jesus said, when you have tribulation, he didn't say if you have, he said, when you have tribulation, when you have troubles, it's inevitable. It's just a matter of time. Problems are going to find you. So you hope for the best, but you plan for the worst. Now, when I say plan for the worst, I mean plan for problems, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you solve them in advance. Listen closely. You cannot solve tomorrow's problems today. You have to solve them when you face them. But you can prepare for them. You can't solve them today, but you can prepare for them today. When you get there, God will give you the energy to solve it. But you're going to face them. Never confuse decision-making with problem-solving. Never confuse the decision-making phase with the problem-solving phase in life. If you have to solve all the problems before you ever make a decision, you're never going to make a decision. Because some problems you can't solve till you get there. 1963, John F. Kennedy stood up at Rice University and announced to the entire world, we're going to the moon by the end of this decade. When he said that, it was physically, technologically, and scientifically impossible. We couldn't do it. We didn't have the technology. There's more technology in your cell phone today than there was at NASA when they sent the guy to the moon. More computing power in your cell phone, if you got a smartphone, than all of NASA had at that day. And you realize what they used to get a guy to the moon and back. And we didn't even have that in 1963. But leaders make the decision, then solve the problem. Don't confuse decision-making phase with the problem solving. You make the decision because it's the right thing to do, not because you can solve all the problems. And then when you get to the problems, you solve them in the problem solving phase. So when I say plan for problems before you make the decision, I'm not saying you got to solve them. You're not going to. I mean, when you made the decision to become a parent, those of you who are parents, had you solved all the problems with your kids first? No, of course not. You didn't even know what the problems were. You wouldn't have had kids. God is so gracious that he unrolls the scroll a little bit at a time, because if he showed you the end, it'd scare you spitless. And so God says, make the decision and then solve the problem. But you plan for the problems in preparation. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says this: a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares, circle that, prepares to meet them. In other words, you're looking ahead. I can see that storm cloud coming. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. So in the sixth step of biblical decision-making, you ask two questions. What could go wrong, and what will happen if it does?
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Do you want to earn more than just a living? You can, because God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. That's why Pastor Rick put together a study kit called Christians in the Workplace. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Maybe you've never thought about it, but your job matters to God. You say, how is that? Well, because God planned what you would do with your life, and part of your life includes your job, your work. God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. Now listen, it doesn't matter what your job is. You may be a manager or a stay-at-home mom or dad. You may be a doctor, a teacher, sales clerk, garbage collector. You may be a taxi cab driver. You may be paid or unpaid. You may be a volunteer in your work. No matter what you do, God uses your job to put you in a place where you can minister to others, and your ministry is actually in your job. Now, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to equip you for your ministry at work. So I put together a study kit that I've called Christians in the Workplace. And it actually includes six sessions. They're study sessions. And there's a DVD and there's a study guide where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier and I teach you about ministry at work. And together, we talk about opportunities for spiritual growth, and we give you a guide for moral and ethical decision-making, and we talk about how to find opportunities in your work to share your faith with others. There's a lot of helpful material in this kit, and I'd like to send it to you. I'd like to send you Christians in the Workplace Study Kit just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And when you support this ministry, you are helping not only share the good news with people around the world, you're helping Christians to grow. Now, I believe that this series is going to be a good series to help you, because we all have to work in different ways. And you'll benefit from this study, and it'll be a great small group study you could actually do with some friends. Now, we're a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for us to continue broadcasting. So thank you for your gifts. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your support. I love you, I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you.
Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. There's only 3 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.